Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Uptime Community. We're so glad that you could join us live today. Today's date is April 16th, the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Greg Messina. And if you are new here, we are a community of believers that are actively studying the Holy Bible and looking forward to that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the way, the truth, the life. We want to make this an interactive forum, so we do welcome your questions and your comments this evening. I don't know if you know who Jesus is, but if you don't, we do encourage you to get to know him today. I do have to give you some bad news first. First is the bad news is that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It means we miss the mark, and we deserve eternal separation from God and his blessings. But the good news is our debt or sins have been fully paid for by the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. He shed his blood for our sins. He died, was buried, and was the only person who was risen in a fully glorified body on the third day. Believe that this has happened. Place your trust in the blood of Jesus. And you know what? You are saved from eternal damnation. It has to be earnest. It has to be from the heart, as it states in Romans 10:9. You'll begin to want to start living for him and not for the world. As scripture states, we become ambassadors for Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? I do welcome back our Uptime panel tonight, but I want to let you know that we do have special guests on tonight, and they are currently backstage, but we're going to bring them on shortly, and I'm going to introduce you to them in a moment. But I do want to mention verse of the day, which is coming from BibleGateway.com, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that love another have fulfilled the law. Amen. Praise God. We bring back Brother Bob Barber.
Hey, everybody. Great to be back.
Great to have you. And, of course, we bring back Brother Kevin Hookman.
Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all.
And, of course, John L. Fortier, the Watchdog.
Hello from Canada, Newfoundland. I hope you're going to have all a good evening and a great show tonight. Be blessed.
Yes, let us. We will be. And we are missing Michael tonight and Brother Bob Hagen. They could not make it tonight. Our prayers do go out to Brother Michael. He's just for his health and be able to get rest, the rest that he needs. He may be taking a short break from Uptime and some of his usual editing and video posting, but he will be back. I'm certain of it. Lord willing, he'll be back, and we'll keep him and his family in our prayers. So with that, I do want to just get into a little bit about what is going on this week, and then we'll bring on our special guests. And Bob, you've been posting some previous Uptime videos, which is great. But as you all know, Israel is under attack, and it seems like things are really starting to ramp up. Things are really starting to heat up, and we're talking about prophecy in the not in the making, but happening currently as we speak. Are we not?
Amen. Yeah, I think Israel is perfect. What they're doing, Israel's getting backed into a corner right now where they have to respond with massive force. Okay. Yes, United States and Britain shot down 99% of everything. They say 99%. Well, it's the 1% that got through. And I know you don't hear a lot about that. But 99% of everything was shot down. So Biden's telling them, hey, relax, take the W, walk away. It's like, you know, imagine being that guy. Imagine being that guy standing there when someone throws a punch at you and some other guy reaches his hand and blocks it. Or some guy takes his gun out and shoots at you, and someone puts up a shield and deflects it, or however. I know it's impossible, but you know what I mean. Okay. Imagine someone doing that to you, and you're just supposed to say, that's cool, it happens, I'll let it go. It's not like you won't do it again, because you meant to wipe me off the map. You know? So they're getting pushed into a corner. So when they respond, and I believe they will respond with massive force, the world's going to look at them and say, hey, why'd you do that for? None of you guys got hurt. You're a bully, Israel. Iran's not the bully. You are. Because they didn't hurt anybody. and they probably end up, you know, it might be the destruction of Damascus. Who knows what's going to happen from now? And then once they do this, whatever they do, the world's going to hate them for it. So if I was Israel, I would have shot right back that night. You know, let it be a part of the news. Oh, Iran shot missiles at Israel, and Israel responded shooting missiles back at them. Why did they just do it right there on the spot? That way it all comes out at the same time. I know they're being manipulated, and they're being guided by the Biden administration. They're being played. Like I said, they're being pushed into a corner. When they finally react, I think it will be the beginning of World War III. They'll start World War III. I think they'll be the first one to use a nuke. Makes sense to me. Okay. And when they finally respond, because they're trying to protect themselves, the whole world will hate them, and the whole world will come against them, just like the Bible says. So we're right on track.
Right on track. What do you guys think? You agree?
I do. I do fully what he said. This is really bad. What's coming? What the answer that everybody's waiting from the answer of Israel, but it could be indeed a page of prophecies. The next step, like a live one, right there in the corner, right there. What do you think, Mr. Kevin?
Two things. One, last week I said that the Middle East is in turmoil, and not a cold one, but a hot one. And just a few days later, this happened. And so it shouldn't be surprising to anybody who watches Uptime that this took place, because we are watching and we are seeing that this is an extremely hot situation over there. This is not business as usual. This is ramped up to a whole different degree, and we're seeing that take place right now. And number two, Bob, you might have answered your own question. Is like, why didn't they fire off everything that night? You said if they did, World War III would start. So I don't think everybody in this world wants World War III. I think there are a lot of people that do. But I think there are some people that don't. And also, there, even though things are going very fast right now, and prophecy is winding down to a degree, because obviously there's a lot left to go. But we are in this last period of time. But there is a thing about going too fast as well. So remember, God's timing is God's timing. And so when it feels like things are going too slow, things start ramping up. When things might start going too fast, things kind of simmer a little bit, and we go through these things called birth pangs. And so there's a hot, and then there kind of simmers, and then there's a hot. But these birth pangs are getting closer and closer, and the hot are getting hotter. And so I just look at it and go, well, obviously it's not time right this moment for that to happen. But that is not going to last forever. There will be a time, Bob, where that does escalate. And when it does escalate, it is going to be the final escalation prior to the start of the tribulation. So we can see that coming. And, all I can say is that keep watching, because we may see some of these big prophecies in the Bible come to pass before the rapture takes place. We've said that numerous times. We don't know whether or not they're going to or not, but if you watch and you see what's going on, then you know that Jesus is at the door. that's ultimately what this says. We don't have much time left.
I'm just going to bring a quick thing there for Bart Payne that Kevin was talking about. As for me, a man and not very smart, I see that as domino effect, right? Once you start, even if you have a big gymnasium of domino, if you start it, you can't stop it. It goes, and it goes faster and faster. So yes, we are close. We're so close to this green arrow right there.
You know, also just one more thing about the birth pangs. Just do a study throughout the entire Bible about a woman in labor and birth pangs. And every time that you see that, it's like, talking about basically Israel, end times, and rapture. So it's an amazing study just to see in the Bible where it's always mentioned. And then people are saying, oh, then rapture is not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. It's not even alluded to. Oh, yes, it is. Many times. You just need to look for it and you need to study it. We've gone through that a bunch
of times. Study to show thyself approved. We talk about that all the time here on Uptime.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reward. You get rewarded for looking into these things, for being a Berean, for searching out the matter. You know, that's a proverb, right?
Yeah.
In my study group, we have a lot of women, and they do understand very well the birth pain. For a man, it's hard to see, right? If you got a toothache, you just go see the dentist, it fix it right now. But the birth pain, once it starts, it has to go all through to the end. And the women in our study.
Women in labor, yeah.
Yeah.
And the good, what you said right there, John, the end goes to the end. And our end is going to be the rapture resurrection event. Amen. That's a great point. You know, I hear that the birth pains over and over and over. But you know what? It's really starting to make sense now because we are really living it now. We thought we were going through birth pains before, but now we are at that point where it hits hard.
Oh, it's really
bad, you know? And then it's like, oh, you know, and the media starts simmering and lighting up and everything's just like, oh, and all of a sudden it just dies down.
Again.
And then it's quiet and all of a sudden, boom, blows up again. I was like, this is totally the birth pains right now. And they look really bad.
This was the biggest drone strike attack in the history of the world. Yeah. I mean, if you don't think that the birth pangs are getting stronger, then you're missing out you're missing out on watching the end times unfold right before your very eyes. We're talking about unprecedented events. And the tribulation is full of unprecedented events. So you haven't. So Bob, I guess this is huge, but you haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, this is just the beginning.
Beginning. And so this is all going to usher in someone who's going to bring in that peace, the world peace, right? To stop this. Eventually, it's going to be a ceasefire. There has to be, because in order for there to be an Antichrist that brings this false peace to the world, something has to stop this.
He's going to arrive on the set there and
That's it.
Everybody's going to.
You know, one more thing about what you said there, Greg. I was talking to John at Watchmen for that great day today. And, you know, we're waiting for that time when Israel runs out of missiles, where they launch and then the enemy just launches everything at them because, you know, Biden said, we're not going to support you if you guys go after Iran now. Okay. So imagine they go after Iran. Israel, Britain, they don't back them up, and they end up Iran and their proxies, because their proxies attacked the same time as Iran. It wasn't just Iran. Their proxies attacked at the same time. So imagine when they all do that, when they all launch their missiles, and we assume what's going to happen is God's going to go, show up, blast all the missiles out of the sky. It's going to be a miraculous thing, and that's it. And then the Antichrist is like, that's my cue. Behold, I stopped the missiles. I saved you, Israel. Told you, I'm here. I'm here to save you. I'm here to make peace. I stopped the missiles. And God's up there like, yeah. And, you know, but the Bible says that he will send a great delusion that they will believe a lie. Right. So he's like, yeah, so the Antichrist is going to take credit for everything I do. Fire coming down from heaven, all that stuff, you know. Yeah, everything God's going to do, the Antichrist is going to take credit for it. Even the destruction of the West. He's going to take credit for that too, because what do the Muslim call us? The great Satan. Okay. Imagine when the West gets destroyed. They're going to be like, oh, you destroyed the West too, man. You must be the man. You know? I mean, they're going to be so fooled. Imagine the people are going to be like, that's not the guy. And they're like, how can you say it's not the guy? Look what he did.
Right.
He's just taking credit for everything God's doing.
It could also be set up for a false flag, this whole what's going on in the East. Could be also setting up for a false flag here in the West. Now, I don't want to get too heavy into that because people get into conspiracy and all that aspect. I don't want to get too heavy into that, but I think some of you know where I'm going with it.
Conspira what? Is that an English word?
Drop an anchor on this thing, man.
Conspira fact?
Conspira what?
Anyway, we have...
Months later, then it's the truth, right?
Yeah. We do have our guests waiting in the backstage, and I don't want to keep them.
Yeah.
But for anyone who has been with us from the beginning, Uptime started back in 2020 during the pandemic. We had Vanessa Moore with us, and she was a great asset to the team, wonderful sister in the Lord, who has brought so much to Uptime, just with her talents and everything that she has done for the ministry. She has been through so much in that period of time, so she's taken a little hiatus, and she's doing a lot more now, and she's going to discuss that with her friend Dusty and how they came together in California. It's an amazing story, but I'm going to let them tell it, because it's just phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come back on, not only just to see Vanessa, but I'm sure Dusty has so much to offer to the table, especially also in end times discussion. So we welcome back Vanessa Moore and her friend Dusty. Welcome.
So good to be back.
Yeah, good to meet you guys.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you for coming.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good to see all of you.
Yeah.
It's still the morning in California, right?
Mm-hmm. I am now. Yes. We are in the desert.
Yeah. So tell us, Vanessa, what have you been doing with your life? And tell us how you got to meet Dusty, and fill us in, please.
Yeah. So I, at the moment, just got doing completely nothing but music. I just got signed to a record label. My producer that I have been working with for 15 years, we've reunited. It was a prayer that I had been praying for so many years, and so now we're finally together, and it kind of just feels so surreal. Forgive me if I stutter. It's all happening. So we will be in Woodstock at the end of August, Woodstock area in Socrates, doing our first show, launching our record label party with our music, and some other artists that are going to be on the label as well. And I'm going to give it the floor over to Dusty here soon, but I just wanted the viewers to know that I haven't forgotten about the song that they voted on, Amazing Grace, but I tried to give it to some other musicians back in Connecticut and New York, and wasn't quite in the pocket, as we say in the music world. So I just, I hoped and prayed that it would be my producer, Brian, that would do it. He's a genius. And we're doing a movement with his music. It's disgusting industry. So we're hoping to spearhead that with new music, because God's people should be known for making the best music in the world. And there's no reason why the enemy has to take it. There's too many good people making great music. And so that's what we're doing. It's going to be a lot of faith music. We are going into both worlds, secular. But Brian not only agreed to do Amazing Grace, he and his buddies from back in the 70s have already started getting our style into it. And he's also doing about three other old hymns that he wants to put on the record. So this year we are going to be working on an entire album of old hymns. So not only Amazing Grace, but you'll get some really cool other hymns along with it. So that's all I'm up to. Music videos, just writing some lyrics. I've got a new song about Jesus that I wrote. It's kind of like a funky house song. I'll be playing that in front of a bunch of secular people in Woodstock. So we shall see how they react. Yep. But I kind of want to give you the floor. He's just because he's better at telling the story.
I like to think so.
His story to tell anyway.
I hope so. Portion. Yeah, and the funny thing, and Greg kind of alluded to and said that Vanessa and I met under kind of crazy circumstances. We have a cool story how we became best friends. And the funny thing is that a lot of it actually has to do with it's actually tied to Uptime. It actually was tied to this channel. So personally, I have to first say that this channel actually is very, very instrumental in my salvation and my coming to Jesus. And I had a very long story. I'm going to do my best to kind of condense it into kind of a shorter thing. But I did take the time this last summer to actually type it out and write it out and put it. It takes about 8 or 9 pages. I do have that posted online. I would actually really like everyone to go and read it. I have to say that as I was taking the time to put it down and write it down, I experienced a lot of satanic attack. I experienced a lot of self-hatred. I think any writer goes through, where there were several times I took that whole manuscript, just threw it in the garbage and said, this is boring. No one will ever want to read this.
I witnessed everything. We were both under so much attack. I saw him. The self-hatred was real.
Yeah. And so I just have to say, I know that Satan did not want this testimony of his son, Jesus Christ, coming out into the world. And I do want everyone to read it. So I will do a verbal kind of thing, but I would point everyone to go back and read it, because I just really think that kind of encapsulates a lot more of it. But So, I mean, just to kind of get a little background on myself, I grew up in a very small town in Utah. And when I say small town, I don't mean kind of tiny community. I mean population 500, 400 people or so, farming community. And I don't know if the viewers out there know much about the Mormon faith or the LDS, the Latter-day Saints. Most of Utah, that's where the church headquarters is, and most of Utah, especially in the rural areas, are very, very Mormon. And I grew up in a very Mormon faith practicing family and community. It just was everywhere. I also kind of grew up in a very kind of a bad situation. I don't want to dwell on it so much as far as that goes. I don't want my story to be pinpointed on the abuse I went through as a child, but my father was a very unstable man. Now, I do point this out not to make him the villain of my story. I do believe he obviously has a place as far as even his sins, the things he did as a cause of mental health issues, or just sins they were paid for by Jesus too. So I never wanted to make him out, but understand growing up, I just had a very horrific childhood growing up, but I still kind of practice this Mormonism. And once again, I don't know if the viewers kind of do know that what Mormons teach is that, you know, they have their own scriptures. They have the Book of Mormon, they have the Doctrine and Covenants, they have the Pearl of Great Price. And what they teach is that the Bible is kind of God's word, but kind of mistranslated a little bit. And, you know, you can kind of take it for a little bit, but if you want the fullness of the gospel, you need to go through the Mormon lens of things, the Mormon thing. And growing up, this never really kind of salved the pain. I never really kind of, it never really kicked home. So, you know, kind of growing up in an abusive home, I found reprieve in two things. One was my grandfather on my mother's side, so my mother's father. And the other was the world of comic books and superheroes. And that was kind of end the Book of Mormon a little bit. And that's kind of what I did. And there was times kind of growing up where, you know, I would go off and I would visit my granddad, and he kind of became more my father figure to me. And I played football. He was a football coach. I was a high school wrestler. He was a wrestling coach. And we just kind of had a good bond about that. And so as kind of time grew up, I mean, every single Mormon is required. I think it's now 18, but at the time I was there, I was 19 years age. What they're required to do is put their name forth and go, you know, I think people have seen the name tags riding the bikes around and spreading the gospel, spreading Mormonism, spreading the idea that the Book of Mormon is the restoration of Jesus Christ. And this, that what Mormons practice is the fullness of Jesus's teachings. That Christians go around, they teach a little bit of kind of like here and there, but they don't have exactly what Jesus taught. And that's what the Mormons have in the Book of Mormon. And, you know, the funny thing is when you go out and you're kind of a young person, you get a chance and you go out and you get to talk to people about their faith, about things they believe, about life after death. And people oftentimes will open up. And I had several discussions and got to know, I mean, several Muslims, Shiite and Sunni, several Catholics, several Jews, several agnostics, atheists, Buddhists, and everywhere you went. And I got to kind of actually, you know, and myself kind of being a little bit of a logical person, someone who likes to kind of debate and talk things out a little bit, I got really kind of good at kind of knocking down some kind of logic holes or some fallacies in other people's religions or their faiths, or I guess reasons why they didn't have the correct faith. The irony was I found myself very ill-equipped at defending Mormonism. I found myself looking at a lot of the things that kind of came through as kind of not really sinking right. And so about a year into my mission, I started kind of looking into it a little bit and praying to God and saying, you know, will these answers kind of be answered a little bit? Will there be some kind of reprieve, or so will something kind of happen that I can answer this and be a better mission for you? And I prayed and prayed and prayed and never got my answer until finally about a year and a half into my mission. And once again, I hate to kind of repeat myself, you have to understand, in Mormon culture, the mission is a very big thing, and the idea of breaking the rules in the mission, or the idea of coming home early, especially to a small community, would be very big. And I took that opportunity. One morning I got up and I left. Missionaries are not supposed to do that as a big major rule infraction. And I had a good half hour conversation on myself where I practiced a lot of the things I had worked on and being a missionary as far as faith-based questions on myself about Mormonism. And I came to the only logical conclusion possible, which was the Mormon faith is not of God, and what they are teaching is false doctrine. And what I immediately did is I went home, and I came home and, you know, I don't want to say shunned by my community, but I obviously was looked at a little bit, ostracized a little bit, coming back to a small town and kind of being this, growing up, kind of a very faithful, good attending Mormon, all of a sudden one day realizing he didn't believe it anymore and just stopping. And so I kind of was a fish out of water. And for a while there, I had a failed high school romance, and I decided to move to Southern California to be closer to my grandparents, especially my grandfather, whom, like I said, was my father figure growing up. And I kind of moved out here, and I have to say that, you know, kind of my spiritual state at the time was a little bit kind of agnostic. I kind of knew that there was a God, but I didn't really know what religion was and didn't really care. And I have to fully also admit, I kind of fully embraced a lot of the sins that Mormons withhold from, you know, I mean, there's a lot, I mean, you know, sexual sin, you know, alcohol, drug use, gambling. I had withheld from those things. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to experience these things. And I won't go into detail. I mean, I kind of like was kind of in this agnostic state, and I did get a phone call from my mother, and I had a very tragic experience kind of happen back home. I won't go into detail just to kind of keep it a little G-rated on the channel, but it was really, really violent and horrible that I heard about, and it really kind of flipped a switch in my brain. I actually pinpointed this at the exact moment in time that I became an atheist. And what my reasoning was I thought this horrible accident that happened in front of somebody I loved and this horrible demise could only mean one of two things. Either there wasn't a God, or God was a violent jerk like my own biological father. And if God was someone like that, then I wasn't going to worship him. And I decided that at that point in time, I was going to be an atheist, and not just any old-fashioned atheist. In fact, I was going to call myself a born-again atheist. And I was not going to be someone who just walked around and let people live their life the way they were or just said kind of things. I was going to be very open-mouthed. And vicious, and I had a lot of knowledge. See, I had knowledge of different various beliefs. I had studied Mormonism. I had studied Christianity. I studied Buddhism, and I kind of knew their holes. I knew their flaws. And one thing I loved coming across for the next 16 years as an atheist was, like I said, I kind of consider myself an all-opportunity atheist, but I just especially took pleasure in being able to rip apart soft, middle ground, middling, lukewarm Christians who could not tell you a thing about the Bible, who want to profess and love and say they love the Bible so much, then why can I quote it better than you? And I took special pride in kind of ripping people's things then. Like I said, like that opportunity, that went on for a long time. And, you know, my sins kind of caught up to me. I actually, like I said, I dabbled in a lot of things that were horrible. I really say these things out loud because I struggled with pornography, and I say these things out loud not to kind of embarrass myself, because I do believe there are people out there who are maybe coming across this video or in the ministry who are saved, who are not saved, who are actually falling victim to the real pandemic of this world, and that is pornography use. That is a dangerous tool of Satan that will take you and corrupt your mind. Men and women, if you are struggling with that, pray and get help with that. But that led me into basically leading into some very serious crimes. And there was a time actually where 9 FBI agents came storming into my house, fully armed, M16s, riot gear, and arrested me. And I was arrested. And there was a long process. Anyone who's dealt with legal matters knows I wasn't arrested and went to prison right away. In fact, I was put on an ankle monitor for 16 months awaiting my trial, awaiting everything that kind of went along to it. And that actually was almost worse than the prison sentence, because the anxiety of kind of not knowing what's going to happen. And also looking at my grandfather, who was a man in his 80s, although not necessarily dying, was ailing of health a little bit. And I was afraid he was going to die before I came out, before I was able to go to prison. I'm sorry, I'll kind of hurry the story along a little bit. Like I said, the written version does kind of go into detail why this made a difference. But it was just kind of funny, because I went to prison and I had 3.5 years there. And the funny thing is, God's providence is so amazing, because he puts you right in the place you need to be, right place, right time. Because I came across a gentleman, and I really hope, honestly, that I come across him sometime again in the future. His name is Chris, and he was a very sharp individual, and him and I got along really well, and we kind of had a lot of similar tastes with comic books and science fiction and just kind of everything. And I was actually fully expecting this gentleman to be a full-blown atheist like myself, and I was very shocked to find out he was a Christian. A fully believing Christian. And so, knowing that I was an avid reader like him, he procured a job in the prison library with him, and we decided to enter the gentleman's debate. And what we were going to do is we were going to debate atheism versus Christianity. And I was going to represent, of course, atheists. He was going to represent Christians, and we were going to set a couple ground rules, and we were going to debate this issue. And that went back and forth for months and months and months, and we just kind of developed a friendship. And we really, like I said, there were times we would get heated, but we would always come back because, you know, at the end of the day, we did love each other. And there was a time where actually we would exchange books. And one time I gave him a book called Why Evolution is True. And the book he gave back to me was Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. I took that book back to my cell and I read that book 4 times in the case of 3 days. And I could not find one fallacy. And I was terrified to go back to my verbal sparring partner without ammunition, and I didn't know what to do. So when I got back, I had a couple deflecting things in mind. I had a couple ideas that maybe what I might pull off. But Chris did something very kind of interesting. He handed my book, Why Evolution is True, back to me. And rather than kind of pull up some science, sciencey things, just wait, Aaron Reddick, just wait. Yeah, you haven't even gotten to the good part yet.
That's crazy.
He handed my book. He read Genesis chapter 1 to me. He handed the book, Why Evolution is True. And he said, I want you to read this book with the same scrutiny that you just read Case for Christ. And as I did something, I did it. Something amazing happened. The idol that was the theory of evolution crumbled to dust in my hands. And I had a realization that I was doing something that I had hated and fought against so long. I was practicing faith in atheism. Now, I really wish the story would end right here and would say, oh, and I became the faith and I became a Christian right at that point in time. No, I was much more hard-headed than that. See, I didn't want to admit that I was wrong. And so what I did was I gladly wore that religion of atheism on my chest while that tiny seed of doubt was in the back of my mind. So about 3 weeks before I came home, tragedy struck my life again. And my grandfather actually had a bad fall on Christmas Eve and went to the hospital a few days later and passed away. And it was 3 weeks before I got home. And, you know, if my grandfather had passed away while I was in prison, you know, I could have handled it. I really could have handled it. It would have been like, you know, he died while I was in prison. And if I would have got home and I would have had a few more weeks with him or a couple more months with him, that would have been a special blessing. But just to be 3 weeks from the door and just one last time to see him, that was just an extra like kind of twist in the knife wound. And when I came home, it was supposed to kind of be a happy reunion. It was kind of a house of depression. Nothing my grandmother's fault, obviously. You know, she just was mourning the loss of her husband of 61 years. And of course, I was fresh out of prison, kind of learning how to live life on the outside. And I didn't really know what to do. I was just kind of lost. I didn't have anything to hold on to. And I began just kind of drinking heavily. And I just drank. And I mean, to the point in time where honestly things became, you know, night and day. I didn't have any direction in life. And I just kind of basically really just kind of wasted my life around. I was drunk on the couch. And what happened was one day I was outside and and it was 5 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning. I don't know what time in the morning. The sun was coming up and I was wasted. I looked out and I was just kind of mourning my lost my grandfather and mourning where I was at. And I just kind of had an internal scream like, who's going to be my father figure now? And right at that moment in time, the sun was rising. And it was a beautiful, beautiful sunset. And I just kind of bathed in the sun. And I took that moment in time and I realized that all my sciencey knowledge of this yellow class dwarf star, you know, that this was hydrogen atoms, you know, colliding for the helium atoms. And this was actually creating nuclear fusion and creating power, that this actually was not just that, this was the sun. And the sun was right there in that point in time so that I could live my life, so that I could live any way, any experience I wanted to experience. This was centered around me, and I made a fatal mistake. I made the same fatal mistake that so many civilizations and people before me have made, was I started worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And I became a sun-worshiping pagan. And I will give this warning to anyone out there practicing any new age. This is the danger of all the different faiths and different kind of pseudo things and scary things I've looked into. New age is the scariest. And I'll tell you why is the reason why it works. It works. It's scary. You're dealing with forces that are scary. And I saw visions. Once again, my written word has visions I saw and things I saw. I don't want to say those things, that not anything that I'm scared of, just a shortened time. And also, I don't want to glorify it because those things are not of God. They were not a savior. They were destructive. But I listen to these demons. I listen to these things say things that, you know, honestly, you can just live a life of pleasure. You can just do whatever you want. You can. This life was for you, Dustin. After all, the sun was here for you. And so as I was doing it, I was kind of like, you know, kind of in the same situation I was going through, and I was practicing pagan sun worship. Kind of got in the same thing, and I was actually scrolling through text. And, you know, I just realized I forgot a big important part of the story, actually. I'm going to back up a little bit. There was a time back when I was a little bit younger and I was waiting tables. I became very good friends with a woman named Erin. And Erin became just a really good friend of mine, just kind of a platonic friend. We worked together at Red Lobster, and we stayed in contact over the years. She wrote me letters in prison, and we had stayed in contact throughout my whole journey. And one time I was kind of like, you know, late at night, and I was scrolling YouTube videos, and I actually came across deep, deep, deep in a rabbit hole. I don't know how I came across. I came across Uptime, and I saw a redhead sharing her Christian testimony. No, I have to admit that, you know, during times of my time as an atheist or even as a Mormon, I might not have listened to it, but recently having visions kind of with some demonic activity, I kind of was a little interested and I kind of wanted to actually hear what she had to say to see if maybe this was of this so-called Jesus Christ, or if maybe this was another god or goddess that was tricking her. So I listened to it, and by the time of her story was over, I was fully convinced this woman had experienced something spiritual. At this point in time, I kind of realized that there actually was spiritual forces in the work and she had, but I thought she was actually deceived about it. So I left a little comment. I did something kind of out of character, and I left my first and last name on a comment in a YouTube video and said, beautiful story, I'm glad to hear it. And I kind of even mentioned the color green. In fact, I kind of wanted to lead her light along the lines of why that was her heart chakra and why that was something different.
Nice try.
A couple days passed, and I kind of forgotten about it. Like I said, I fully admit I was actually kind of drunk that night. I actually really kind of was drinking heavily and kind of forgotten about it. And all of a sudden, I got a flurry of text messages from my friend, Aaron, whom I kept contact for years and years. And she was just sending screenshots. And I don't do social media. I don't Facebook. I don't do Instagram. I don't do any of that stuff. I think I have a Facebook page from long ago. I haven't logged into it for 8 or 9 years, something like that. And she was saying, this is the Vanessa, oh my gosh. And so I finally had to call her and I was like, what's going on? What she was explaining was that I had randomly come across Vanessa Moore's testimony online. Vanessa Moore was one of my best friend Aaron's ex-dancing partner and one of her best friends that still kept in contact.
Mm-hmm. So we met at the Joffrey Ballet in New York City when I was 16 years old. Aaron was 18, I was 16. We danced together at the Joffrey Ballet, became instant best friends. And so then years later, 10 years later or so, they become really close friends in Utah, totally unrelated. And he didn't have social media. And it was actually kind of unlike me to post that on Facebook as well. So the timing of it all. And so, yeah.
So, phone numbers were exchanged, and Nessa and I, we kind of became phone friends. And ironically enough, we actually were in the same situation at the time where I was caring for my elderly grandmother and she was caring for hers at the time. So it kind of had a bonding thing. We kind of would kind of give tips. And when Vanessa's grandmother passed away, obviously I tried my best to comfort her from afar. And that kind of time, and what kind of left her in a little bit of purgatory. It kind of left her in a point in time where she kind of didn't really have a direction, didn't really know. And I started kind of making a joke that what she should do is fly out to California and help me take care of my grandmother for a few weeks and give me a little vacation. And pretty soon, what started off as a joke turned into reality, and she flew out. And what started off as a 2-week little vacation turned it into kind of an extended month, couple of weeks, stay, and eventually a permanent residency. And Nessa, like I said, before she kind of came out, I kind of thought back to the last time I was really happy, and that was when I was debating my friend Chris in prison. And so I thought, it was a good opportunity. Actually, I'll kind of pull up another Christian, but this time I'll come from the viewpoint of a pagan. And so when Nessa got here, and I don't know if anyone's ever been out here in Palm Springs in Southern California in August and September, it is so hot, you just basically stay inside with the air conditioning, and that's what we did. We kind of set the same ground rules, and Vanessa, has a lot of resources as far as things like, apologist things on YouTube, kind of like testimonies, things in her Bible study and things. She's actually very well, kind of well versed. She knows her stuff quite a bit. So we started going through, but there was one in particular that really hit me hard. And that was Bill Weiss's 23 Minutes in Hell. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen that one, but that one really kind of struck a chord with me. And it was so funny because it wasn't so much for me. It was actually for my friend Aaron. We've talked about things, and she's kind of professed things about, some kind of spirituality, but never a seriousness about life beyond. And I started worrying about her, and I kind of thought about how I was in prison, how she had taken care of me and written me a lot of letters, that if my friend Aaron was even in a worse prison for all eternity, now was no way I could help her, how much worse I would feel. And I did something that I hadn't done in a long time, actually really since my Mormon mission, after Vanessa had gone to bed. I went to the bathroom and I hit my knees and I prayed to my Heavenly Father for the very first time. I wasn't saved at that moment in time. I just kind of felt the feeling of peace. I just kind of felt like, your soul is not destined for there, but it's a very real place. But you are right to be afraid of hell. That kind of weighed on my mind a little bit. And as I was talking to Vanessa, it was kind of funny because I was talking about our friend, mutual friend Aaron. I kind of made the mention. In fact, I remember the date. It was October 24th, 2022. I said, huh? 22.
Oh, that's 22.
It's been almost, And I was talking to Nessa and I said, I don't think Aaron's saved. And then I heard that voice in the back of my head back here, and I just knew it was God speaking to me and said, but you are. And I can give every single kind of cliched thing to explain what it means being saved, but I don't have to, because if you have experienced it, you either have. And if you haven't, I'll say this. I used to roll my eyes and mock people that said I've been saved. I used to kind of actually have a little thing. If you haven't felt it, if you kind of do the same thing, just seek it a little bit harder and you'll find some salvation. You'll find some kind of reprieve, something that will come that you will eternally be grateful for. That is my testimony. That's how I was saved. And like I said, there is more detail to it. I really hope that was engaging for people. I do have a written version. I have posts on Reddit, a couple different message boards. I will kind of get that out to people if they do so want to read it. But thank you so much for your time, everyone. Any questions or?
Oh, I'm sure we have plenty of questions.
Yeah. Fire away.
You should have seen the warfare leading up. And we didn't even touch upon 2023, which all the demonic warfare leading up, like being put in the hospital.
You. Yeah, thank you, Amy. Thank you. Yeah.
It was just like, we've come out of that finally. It's just, man, it's just been a year of nothing but darkness. And it's just, it feels so good to finally have that, these trials over with. It's like a serious Job season there for months, and it nearly killed me. He was there to witness it.
That's
that could be a story for a whole other day.
That's a whole different episode, but I would gladly, that was. Oh.
Yeah. Man, I mean, your testimony is so powerful, Dusty, and it really is so moving. I'm almost was lost it there behind, backstage while you guys had the floor, because I got very emotional as you were stating it. I think others were as well, but it's just so powerful because you put so much emotion into it too. I could almost feel it radiating off of you. Great job in explaining your testimony, by the way. That was phenomenal. And any questions for Dusty or Vanessa, please put them in the chat. And we're going to discuss that. We'll discuss these things as we go along. But Dusty, I mean, at any point, did you realize that there was something that God was doing after you saw Uptime? And you had Vanessa come over in the to California, that there was something that was really going to drive the rest of your walk with him in a different direction. Did you realize that?
No, not in a million years. And I mean, the thing is, like, I really would love to see. I liken myself oftentimes to Saul and Paul in the Bible, because there are people from my past that if you said Dusty is a Christian, they would laugh at how much I mocked and made fun of and ripped Christianity apart. So the idea that God was working in me the whole time, actually, no, it hit me by surprise. In fact, it wasn't even when I was saved that I realized it. In fact, that it was actually when I was writing my testimony down. And that's why I highly encourage everyone to go back, even if you think, like I said, I was fully convinced this story was so boring, no one would even want to read it. They would get to that one page and then, fall asleep. It wasn't really until some other people read it and said, this is good, you should read it. So if you think your story is boring, if you think, I don't think anyone would read, trust me, there are people out there that will be inspired at it. And you will actually see how God worked through your life, even when you didn't realize he was there. And worked specifically for you. He catered things to me, like to me. I mean, there are things in Superman comics that touched me and led me to Jesus. And those are things that were catered to me. It was to me. He loved me. And that's what made it so beautiful. So no, if you answer your question, no, never in a million years I think he was going to lead me that way. And that's what makes the story so beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome. Gentlemen, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good explanation of your Damascus Road.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Well, as you were talking, I says, whoa, man, yes, you saw the light, and probably people around you didn't see you or hear anything, but you were smacked to the ground, and that's how you got the revelation or the acknowledging the wisdom of that. That's a great testimony, man.
Destiny's a testimony here, you guys.
Yeah, actually, I've got it here. I guess you don't know it right here. I've got it pulled up right here.
Go ahead and put the link in our private chat, and then we'll put it in the
people asking for that in the
chat. Well, shoot, I don't have. Oh, the link actually here. Let me find the Reddit link. The Reddit link is probably the best way to go to, actually.
Sure. And now I know there you talked about Bill Weiss and his book, and there are different opinions about where he's been, if he's actually been to hell or not, and this and that. That's beside the point at this point, right?
So what it is
that it made an impact on you and helped you come to Christ, because there's something that book had in it that drove you to realizing there was something true to his story. And obviously true to the gospel message.
Yeah, and that actually is
believe that or not, though, I thought Bill Weiss's story, because I saw it years prior to having this experience in 2023. I had my own version. Once you see it, you have to see it from beginning to end. He has a lot of scripture for it, but it's one of those things you just can't dismiss without seeing it. I know a lot of scholars do that, and it's like, have you seen it? They say no. They just admit you have to see it. And I was convinced right away, but it wasn't confirmed until I had my own 23 minutes in hell type of story here, 2023. And Dusty was there to witness this thing, and it almost caused me to commit suicide. It was the worst hell. And so it's real. I mean, everything that he was describing, I was been given a play by play of all the things that I had legions of demons for months. Legions, like hundreds, voices mimicking, and I don't want to go too far into this darkness of it, but I would just, before you dismiss something.
Yeah, and I will say this, obviously, there is debate. That story or that testimony of his experience in hell did lead me to Christ. Obviously, I would never actually push someone to that to lead people to Christ. I will always lead people to the Bible. That is that I will obviously say. Absolutely. That because, and I didn't get a chance to kind of go into that. Our study in the Bible actually was more of the Bill Weiss 23 minutes in hell was a good little piece, was a story thing, but it was a study in Bible and study of our real Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that saved me, not a fleeting, or I shouldn't say fleeting. I do believe it was a genuine testimony, but I will always refer people back to the Bible and actual scripture truth before I'll refer people. Those things are ancillary helper things. So that answers that.
Amen. Awesome. Kevin, Bob, do you have anything?
One thing.
I read that book.
Yeah, I can actually get the link right here really quickly if you give me 1 second, actually.
Yeah. Bob's read the book. Yeah, Bob's read the book. What do you think?
My testimony. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that book. I seen some people do some reenactments of what he saw in the book, and he said what he saw in this reenactment was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It was actually done in a movie, and I had this movie for a while.
All you have to do is look at Hollywood. It's all accurate.
Kids, but they were too young to look at it. It was just so horrific. It was the most, it was like the worst, most disgusting version of hell I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But it was pretty accurate according to Bill Weiss, what he saw.
Yeah, I experienced that.
People say he didn't go there, but, how does a believer go to hell with the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy, your spirit has an indwelling Holy Spirit, so it can't go to hell. So what happened to him? He was already a believer beforehand, born again. No part of Jesus ever goes to hell and suffers. So was he given like a, I don't know. I really don't know what happened to him, because that's where I have an issue with it. I used to believe, he went to hell, came back. But now that I understand how salvation works, you have a glorified spirit of God inside you. So why would God send his spirit to hell? And according to his book, he forgot about who he was. And then the memory returned to him. So
obviously God veiled a lot of his pain. Yeah, I think this is like a conversation that go way deeper, on so many things, because I'm trying to keep referring back to my experience, I believe every word that came out of Bill Weiss's mouth, because I experienced just almost exactly the same thing that he experienced. You don't understand the depths of evil that are lurking and that are there. And yes, and I my church, a lot of people, they don't like to hear this. That's why I got shunned from so many churches, because they didn't want to hear about my dreams and visions. That's why I was very lonely for a while. Finally found a church, and it's a very hard time for me to even share these things with them, because they're like, well, this would never happen to you. You're a Christian. I'm like, have you ever read the book of Job? you know, I mean, that's exactly what my experience was. And after that time, God led me to Job after the demons were like done scratching and tormenting me for weeks. And basically, you know, I was afraid to read Job because I knew the outcome, that his whole family is going to die. And those demons manifested at every single person in my family, that they were coming to me. They gave me a play by play of everything that was happening to me in hell, what was happening to all my family members in hell. And it was all my fault. And everyone was going to hell because of me, because of my sins. And they had me believing that. And the demons were tormenting morning, day and night. You have no idea how evil these things were. They were sexually abusing me, I was screaming out to God. And I was like, why would God let this happen? It's like his hand was withdrawn. And through a series of many things, God showed me after it was finally over. He said it was a trial and he led me to the book of Job. Because I had all the boils and all those kind of things and different like rashes and everything that he was going through, the being tormented by demons, you know, says you terrify me with dreams and visions. So Job says, you terrify me with dreams and visions. Well, that's what I think belief happened to Bill Wise. He was terrified in a vision and God only gave him a little piece of what he was actually going to experience in hell, just so he can suffer in that way to show the world that this stuff is serious, you know. It's like I think that mental suffering is equivalent to any other apostle suffering, like being sawed upside down in half, or any of the apostles, you know, suffering in a physical form.
Demons are real, folks. They are real. Not everyone experiences. Not everyone's experiences are the same within the demonic realm, and it, you know, there's different reasons for that. We don't know. We don't know those reasons. What those reasons are, but I can attest myself that these things do exist. The book of Acts continues on through today. And certainly the demonic are, you know, the demons are here. They roam the earth. They're spirits. Spirit, pneuma, means breath. It just means breath. And so they're going around doing their thing, but they're real. But you know what? They flee at the name of Jesus Christ. They flee at the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you are ever attacked demonically, and you'll know, believe me, you'll know, you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to piggy off that. I did have an experience that, because I was so traumatized for months after that. But there did come a time, months and months and months later, when I was dealing with my friend's father dying, we led him to the Lord, or we were, pretty sure that he, you know, we were leading him to the Lord in the very end there. Where the two of us would just decided to go to church. And it was that one time where the Lord really showed me the Holy Spirit, that thing that you're fearing right now, all those demons being coming back, he said, they're not coming back. So it was just purely a trial. I don't want you to think that, like, I don't want anyone to think that, oh, I'm going to become a Christian, I'm going to have demonic attacks all the time. You know, that you might not have an attack like that, anybody, you know, or ever. You might never, not ever have a demonic attack that you're aware of, or that's so dramatic like that, or so horrifying, but yeah, just they haven't come back. And so I want to give God the glory for the fact that he's just, you know, he's more powerful than them.
And I do just want to say that I was here witness the entire time Nessa was here, and I can back up and testify and back up everything she has said. I was here too. But I think a lot of it comes down to, we can argue tick for tack. I think the New Testament argues about that, kind of getting in discussions as far as that goes, that I think we can all agree hell, not a great place. Don't want to end up there. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to
bottom line.
Make that. Yeah. Whatever it is, you don't want to be there. You know? So.
Yeah. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about heaven. The last uptime broadcast, you know, showing all those AI pictures, how beautiful it is up there and how wonderful. And, you know, the Bible says eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered in the hearts of men what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's how great it is in that direction. But imagine how bad it is in the other direction. You know, you think you know suffering, man, down there, man, there's suffering down there. You can't even imagine, you know. So some people get saved by that, though, you know. Some people will read that book and get saved, and some people are saved by fear. I was saved by fear.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to hell. That's how I got saved. Mm-hmm. Then I learned to love Jesus Christ, but it was my initial fear of hell, you know. So that's how I got saved. I got saved through fear. And evidently, that's how kind of God's using me in my ministry. You know, people call me a fear monger because I'm always pointing out all the bad stuff that's happening, showing that tribulations are a doorstep. It's like, oh, doom and gloom, no. Doom and gloom means rapture resurrection about to happen.
Yeah.
Amen, June 23. John?
That sounds like hope and promise to me. Yeah. I mean, that's all that really, that's our blessed hope, right? I mean, so for those who do not know Christ, it absolutely does look like gloom and doom. I mean, that's what tribulation is for the unbeliever. It's gloom and doom. And then afterwards, it's eternal death. So, of course, it's going to install fear into the non-believer. But into the believer, these things that are taking place are not unexpected. They are exactly what we are told to expect. And we know what's at the end for us. I mean, rapture, resurrection, whether we die first, we're raised first, or we're still alive and remain, we're caught up together with them in the clouds. So either way, we win. And it's a lose-lose situation if you don't have Christ. So I think, Dusty, it sounds like you realize that when you turn to atheism, that that road was not going to get you anywhere. But you had to be kind of prodded in order to get back onto the straight and narrow, basically. Mm-hmm. You had to be pushed and say, hey, read this and compare it, contrast it. What is truth? What's not truth? And I think that when people really start giving the time to the Lord to allow the Lord to speak to them and say and open up and say, look, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if you're true. I don't know if any of this is true. But listen, I'm going to give you a chance. Boy, when you do that, the Lord does not shy away, does he? I mean, he goes right in there as soon as you just give that little opening. And the reason why is because he's there all the time. He's just waiting for that moment for you to give him that opportunity. And when he does and your eyes are opened, all of a sudden now everything changes. You see things in a complete different light. You hear music in a different way. You see music in a different way. Vanessa and I talked about this, about songs that we used to listen to, and we're like, these are cool songs. Yeah. And then when you listen to them after you're saved, you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What is this really saying? You know? Yeah. And it just gives a totally different perspective. And I really appreciate that both of you are going to be witnessing at Woodstock. That is that's quite an amazing feat. Well,
yeah, I don't know if he'll be there. My producer Brian's going to be there with me. We're going to have a bunch of some guys from the 80s. It's going to be I might be the only Christian up there in Woodstock. It's going to be crazy, but it's our music. And you know what? Like I said, people are like, they don't know what God's doing. He's doing a new thing. Listen, I've been waiting for this moment for 15 years.
Right.
I know what God's showing me. I've never felt more sure about anything in my entire life. I had to go through that demonic experience because God had to equip me. Because I had so much fear about going out there in the world. I never wanted to go be a celebrity. I never wanted that, you know? And so the thought of being out there on world stage didn't appeal to me, really. I share that in my testimony. But now that we're kind of in it, now I feel called after I'm seeing the garbage that is sweeping the industry and to see that how demonic. And so, you know, there used to be a point where secular music was really beautiful in the 60s and 70s. I could find a million songs from that era that are far more edifying and transcendent than 95% of the stuff I hear on Christian radio even. But forgetting that, that's a whole other subject. But the secular stuff, it's just so disgusting. So I'm like, I don't really have a propensity to go minister to the Christian world or go make Christian music all Christian music right now. I'm going to have my Christian music. We have some original ones interweaved, but you know, God says calls us to go into the darkness. Well, who's going to do that? You know, so I don't know, you know, to make good secular music. So we are going into the secular world as well with music that still reflects truth, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's just, meditate on these things. And so we're going with the spirit of that. And plus, we want to come out against the industry. We are coming as independent artists. And so we don't have to worry about Hollywood and the industry trying to corrupt us or try to touch us or do anything with us. We could do what we want. But it's just going to be a lot harder. So if you guys could please pray for us. It's been a really hard journey. And I know this is a big platform and a big calling and a big charge. And so, and it's like happening very, very soon. Everything's being lined up. And so I just pray that you guys would, I know God's with me, but yeah.
Well, we're with you too. And if it sounds like to me that over this last year, you've gotten equipped. You know, you really just don't have, I mean, how can you have fear of man after that, right? I mean, what can man do to you?
I know, like, I don't care what anyone says. Come at me. Actually, it's given me this confidence and boldness, especially with this new song that we wrote about Jesus and about the secular world and about the elite, mostly about the Hollywood elitist and the government and all this kind of stuff. Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. Yeah. maybe we can. Sorry, that just flew out there. The song's coming out anyway, so this industry's not going to like it. But we shall see.
That's the point.
We pray that we just protect this piano right now.
That's the point. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And I think Bob actually had some sort of vision at some point of you, of like this birthing for you a while back. I mean, years ago. I vaguely remember that. I don't know. You probably remember it better than I do, Vanessa. But Bob saw this happening to you.
There was a time where people were telling me dreams, and some people were telling me dreams, and I got confused with some of the ones that were real, which ones weren't.
Well, it was all positive. It was all
good
birthing, and that you're going to get into this area in your life at some point, and it seems like that point is now.
Yeah, it does feel that way. So. Yeah,
just go with the fate of Paul. Yeah. Paul was thrown down at Damascus Road. And basically, he's been told, go over there, talk to the Gentiles. And Paul always went to the Jews first. But how do you think he was so confused back then, right? Mm-hmm. Then Gentiles. What they're going to throw me rocks like they did with Stephen, right? Mm-hmm. But God, Jesus Christ, was with him. So I see that as a big door opening for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not every Israeli prophet went to Israel, right? Yeah. I mean, so that God does call few to go outside of their comfort zone in order to reach others. And it's not easy. It's not easy for that person. You have to be a special person, but God picks the right people to do that and also equips them before they go out there, before they, if they can't handle anything, then what use are they? But when God equips you, and you're ready to go, then you can move mountains. And I have a feeling that you guys are going to just be a couple of disruptors.
Mm-hmm, me too. I really believe that.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, just real quickly. And what I like about this, and just to kind of back up if anyone's kind of like confused as to Brian, my music partner, is not a Christian, but he cares about truth. And I think it's going to be good that we can show the world that a secular Jew from New York City and a Christian can come together and have something in common and do something. You know, he's New Age and all that stuff. But, you know, I believe God is working in him. And, you know, the world's going to love him. I'll tell you that. He's a total hippie he's a big, you know, Beatles guy. So that's going to work in our favor. But also, you know, it changes the things that we write in our music, because there's certain things that I won't say because of my beliefs and stuff, and vice versa, you know. So
absolutely awesome. Well, we you know what we'd talk about here on Uptime, Vanessa, you're no stranger to that, but what are your thoughts, both of you, and you can decide who wants to speak first, on where we are on the prophetic timeline, in terms of how close we are to the return of Christ, specifically the rapture of the body of Christ?
I'm going to give you probably the most boring answer you probably ever heard. My feelings are no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And I mean, and it's, I'm not coming down. I'm obviously looking at the birthing pains, looking at something is obviously very interesting. I love it. To me, our Savior is coming back soon, and I'm just ready for him. I don't mean a wet blanket on everything. That's just kind of, those are kind of my feelings. So
no,
I go back and forth with that, because, you know, I feel like he's coming so soon that Dusty will say, I get anxiety sometimes thinking my music, so I'm not gonna have time to do my music, as if God doesn't know what timeline we're on, you know, that he created. And so it's like, he's gonna come soon, so we're never gonna get this stuff out. Because so I go back and forth, is there gonna be a revival Is there going to be like another revival and we'll have another, you know, 10 years or something with just another domino effect of birthing pains with a bit like a little recession? Or is it, it depends on who's, you know, in charge. Or is it going to be one of those things where it ushers in the, you know, the big boy. Ushers in the big boy. I'm trying to be as discreet as possible now. I sound ridiculous. I don't know if what I'm trying to say. The return of Jesus and ushering and you know, the Antichrist and stuff like that. So I'm not, can mm-hmm. I say Antichrist?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Okay, that's the big boy. The big bad boy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They, so. Yeah. YouTube doesn't care too much about that.
The only thing you can say is.
Oh, okay.
That's it. That's the only thing you can't say right now.
Yeah. You're good. You're good.
Man. I'm sorry. I blew it. It's just, I've been having it in my lyrics all week and I was just in singer mode. Sorry. I was in lyric mode, but yeah.
You can say the Antichrist. You can say you pledge allegiance to the Antichrist for which he stands. You can say any of those things on YouTube. That's not a sin for YouTube. Come on. We all know that is a sin. And we also know that they don't like that either. They hate it. So just be careful about those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for that. And I know that was a tough question. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little personal and no one gets offended here. That's a great thing because we can all share our different opinions on this. We're very heavily watching, waiting, anticipating, you know, the Lord's return. And that's fine. And we love to watch for the Lord. In the meantime, there are other people who have testimonies. They have different desires and things that they're looking forward to in terms of the Lord doing in their lives, their own walk and journey. Folks, that's okay. Brothers and sisters, you know, we still can look and watch and wait and still understand that there's other testimonials out there of people getting saved, coming to Christ. That is the most important thing, okay? That is more important than actually, in my mind, in my opinion, than just looking for the rapture. I love looking for the Lord. I love looking for the Lord's return. But if I know that some other people are getting saved just prior to that, man, that just makes me want to do backflips. That makes me want to do backflips, all right? So... Get excited. Get excited for other people who are coming to Christ during this time prior to the time of Jacob's trouble. Mm-hmm. Let's be excited about that. Okay. And so we're gonna get into a little bit more about the prophetic timeline. I don't know how much you guys keep up with that, but Bob has been doing a lot with his videos, the Rapture Resurrection Reports. Very good stuff to watch. To look for. I'm going to put up his banner, his information right now. Bob Barber, you are doing a great job with the Rapture Resurrection Reports, keeping us all informed. Awesome yep. work.
That's keep what they're for.
Yeah, keep it up. We want to make sure that you guys are all informed, okay? Not just being edified, not just, you know, being excited about the Lord's return, but being informed, all right? With my busy schedule, I can't do the stuff that Bob can do. Bob has that time, ability to do that and do the editing and get that stuff on YouTube. That's great. We all work together as different members of the body. And that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing, brothers and sisters. You can see that. And you can see that in my brother and sister's testimony here today, too. As much as we could have just said, let's make tonight just another night about possibly tomorrow not being here. I think it's very important. Testimonies are very important. And it's one of the things that Vanessa and I really talked about at the beginning when Uptime first started. Testimonies are so important and such a great evangelistic tool. And it's one of the reasons why we started a program. And that show that's been going on, we had, I think, 20 episodes. Is that right?
We were blessed with quite a lot of guests, and our first ones were top guests, you know, ones that you would think would be the ones that we'd have later on and kind of work our way up. Like, we got some really life great testimonies. Guests. Yeah.
Yep.
And they were so varied in their experience, in their experiences, right? I mean, but that is that's a hallmark of God, right? Just picking people from here, there, and everywhere, everything. So you give the testimony, and then anybody who's in that area can relate. And so there's not one person on this earth that can't relate to somebody's testimony because of our shared experiences. That series was so good, Vanessa. I remember saying to you every week, it was like just better and better every week. You got pretty good at that, actually.
Thank you for saying that. Greg, did we not have a conversation the other day where I was saying I felt so self-conscious about those? Can you take them all down, please? Because I don't, I'm not a host, please.
No. That's the enemy talking, trying to get us to take that stuff down. People will be blessed by them. We have a playlist, folks, here on Uptime Community called A New Creation, True Life Testimonies. And we have at least, I want to say at least 20 episodes. So,
yeah, people coming out of Buddhism, Muslim, you know,
yes,
all walks of life, out of, you know, pornography, people, you know, prostitution, atheism, you know, all kinds of, my goodness, so many, I can't even remember. We had so many good testimonies.
Yeah, amazing testimonies.
Yeah.
So one day,
Yep. So you see, Uptime was not just meant for, okay, well, or maybe tomorrow we're not going to be here. It's also about bringing others' experiences, true life testimonies to people and making an impact that way as well.
But that is a Vanessa thing to say, though. It's like, oh, take it down. I'm self-conscious. It's like, but that's the old Vanessa, right? Vanessa these days is like, okay, bring it on, you know? Like,
I felt like I looked pretty strung out in some of those, but
Look, the point is that
dealing with death, all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but God uses those things for good. So I would discourage Greg from taking those down.
Okay.
One of those videos is very key to my salvation. So you never know who else out there can come across some random video, and you never know how God's working. That was
absolutely.
Yeah. If you had taken that video down, I never would have come across it.
Yeah, and which in turn, if it weren't for Dusty, I wouldn't have been able to go through these hell experiences on my own. I would have lost my mind. Excuse me. They would have put me into a mental institution. Something horrible would have happened. I know God would work it out either way because he's sovereign, but but God, he has been a huge, God has used Dusty to, in this church, our amazing church of mine, this church has really helped me, and he's really helped Dusty, and Dusty has helped me to kind of stay grounded, and to, he really reins me back in, because the enemy really uses me in my mind, especially when I'm creative mode, trying to create, thinking that I can make any kind of impact in this world. I'm telling you, he gets me to the point where it is just like debilitating, where I can't sleep. It affects my health and my immune system. I'm so glad that I was able to come back on, because literally just yesterday was the first day I was feeling better. I've been under attack for weeks, just stomach, just insomnia, anxiety, nothing but just horrifying thoughts, panic attacks, and just things. And I know it's because something is about to be birthed, but sorry, I went off on a tangent around the world there, but yeah, it was real.
Yeah, good. Well, we thank you for sharing the testimony, and we're gonna continue talking about some of the things that we usually talk about on Uptime. But you guys, listen, you are on a path where the Lord has placed you on that's going to birth such great blessings. I really believe that it's going to be an anointed, and that the Lord's going to bless your ministries. And we just pray that the Lord's going to bless that time in Woodstock too, when you
thank
go there.
Yes, please. That's going to happen.
Yes, that is going to work for you, both of you. Go ahead, John.
Just before we change topic, for Miss Vanessa and Dusty, is there a website beside the one for the testimony? Is there a website, something that we can follow you?
Well, Dusty doesn't do social media.
No, so I know that. That's why I'm asking you guys.
And for me, I think the best way right now, I could send you straight to my website, but I'm not quite sure if I'm allowed to, because I think my producer, Brian, wants it to keep it between me and himself, because we're not ready to launch these music videos.
Okay.
Yeah, so go to Instagram. Go to my Instagram, which is Vanessa J. Moore, VanessaJMoore, the number 7. That's my Instagram. And there you could go down to my LinkedIn, and then you will see my website and things like that. So, you know, I'm our stuff's copywritten and stuff, but we're just trying to keep it a very small thing. So I'll just let you guys know that you'll see everything in there. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Mr. Greg? Are you printing it now?
I am trying. I
see that in your eyes. You're like a deer in headlights.
Well, you know, something's going on with YouTube here for about the last, I'd say, half an hour to an hour. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but they're having some technical difficulties.
Message more 7. Sorry.
Yeah, that'll get you to Vanessa's doppelganger.
Yeah,
you don't want to talk to her.
Sorry about that.
Crazy enough. Yeah.
But I just want to let people know that yes, it's not you. You don't need to adjust your television set. YouTube is having technical difficulties. Some people are losing all their subscription channels and so forth. I'm also seeing in the live chat that it went from 400 to 4. So I know, but I know there's more than 4 people chatting. So the numbers are off on YouTube. So
how convenient.
Yeah. Well, YouTube is definitely having some problems right now. So, but don't panic. I doubt that YouTube is gone forever. And I don't think this is the beginning of that. I also don't think that everyone's lost their subscriptions forever. So just be patient. Technical glitches occur, and there's nothing you can do about it right now. So just sit tight and keep watching.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that, because some people would have just said, "We're under attack, a cyber attack."
No, we're not.
Don't worry, folks. Don't worry. Okay.
Yes. No. Maybe YouTube is under a cyber attack. That is possible, but I wouldn't say that was the first. That would be the first place I would go.
Okay. I have one more thing to say about where to find me. Like when you find my website, our since we are not going to be doing it the way that the mainstream does it, we're going in the other direction. We'll be independent artists. We're not going to be doing things like putting our stuff on Spotify right away. We will be playing the game a little bit, but we're going to try to get out of it as well as soon as possible. So the only way that we're going to be able to, you know, even make a living doing this thing that we really believe in, this movement, this world movement, we've got people all around the world doing this with us, is if people go to our channel and subscribe. So we really appreciate it if you guys would go to my website. It's VanessaJMooreMusic.com. I'm just going to plug that there and we can deal with that later. I'll tell my producer to take the videos down if he wants to, but just, yeah, go to VanessaJMooreMusic.com. And things are going to start taking off here in the next couple of months.
Good.
And if anyone's in the New York area, please, you know, I'll start posting. I'll let Greg know when we have the big show there. And if anyone's in the area, come, by all means, come see a live show.
All right. Did I spell that right? Because I'm doing this all off the cuff. I'm sorry. There we go. It's perfect. There, right?
Yep.
There.
Yep.
Yes, I got it.
First try.
All right. Well, thank you, Vanessa and Dusty, for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Now, I would typically have you on for some questions, but it seems like we're having some technical difficulties.
We got to go to Bible study anyway. We're actually perfect timing. We're about starting Bible study in about 20 minutes. So that's great. We're 5 minutes.
All right. Perfect. Well, it works out. And we thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Dusty, thank you.
God bless you. And look out for Amazing Grace and our other hymns.
We're waiting. You lost your mic.
What happened there?
I lost my mind.
She got excited. It's good to see you again, Vanessa.
Great to see you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Redhead.
God bless you.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful good
stuff.
I love hearing just different.
What's going on with YouTube right now? We got like 19 viewers.
Yeah, YouTube is
it might be under attack. Going on where people just stopped watching us.
No, it's not that. People are definitely not that total. Do not believe it because there's just that there YouTube is having some major problems. Because I just went in and took a look and at the subscriptions. I clicked on Uptime and it says channel not found. Retry channel not found. Clicked on it again and there it was. So
we must.
YouTube is definitely having some issues, but it's not just your channel, your channel, Greg Uptime. It's Bob's. It's also other channels that I've subscribed to. It's all of YouTube right now. So it's not
a little early for them to be shutting down channels. Rapture hasn't happened yet, so they can't do that.
It's not a targeted attack, in other words. So
they're probably getting ready to, they're testing the system that way when they
file balloon,
it'll work for them. They can wipe out all the channels.
Well, you know what? Listen, I don't know whether or not YouTube has internal issues or if it was outside influences, but all I know is that they are not silencing us because guess what? We're still talking and people are still listening. So
that's right. Amen.
It didn't work.
No,
it didn't work.
That's right. Didn't work.
Shall we start with the questions? I mean, we have what, 30 minutes? Do we have 30 minutes worth of questions?
Probably. Just over 30 minutes. Yeah, let's do questions.
Let's do it.
We have, I think you got 12 queued up already. So let's see what we can get through.
Is it true that the rapture will happen when 2/3 of Israel has been attacked? I didn't hear anything about that.
Which verse is that? Second Opinions 7:3? I don't know. I don't see any verse in the Bible that says, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever when 2/3 of Israel has been attacked. But, I think you're adding a little bit to that. That sounds like a man-made kind of doctrine. Now we do know, I think you might be conflating a couple of things. We do know that 1/3 of Israel will be saved. So that is where maybe the 2/3 who are not going to be saved and do not are not part of the remnant. Maybe that's what you're thinking of. And so the 2/3, the 1/3 gets saved and ultimately at the end. Right. But they're protected in the wilderness for 1260 days. And that's during the tribulation. That's the last half of the tribulation. So of the 70th week of Daniel. So we refer to tribulation and 70th week of Daniel almost exactly equal. There may be a little overlap or underlap here or there. Bob's got some good charts on that about containers and what everything fits into each other. So go check out one of Bob's 16,000 videos and you'll if you can find it. But actually Bob put that in a bunch of his different videos. So I think it was pretty much last year around this time, you were doing a lot of those charts because we were entering into a new Shemitah cycle in the following 7 years. And this was the 11th, right? The 11th, which is chaos. And Bob, you just had a birthday on the 11th, which really kind of puts it all into one big package. And of course it's chaos for Bob Barber. Because Bob Barber tries to wrangle the chaos and put it into a consumable format that everybody can understand through his Rapture Resurrection reports.
Speaking of birthdays, Mr. Kevin, you have one coming up.
Oh, boy.
There you go. That's all right. Well,
I feel like I'm 2 years older since I've had two of these the last 2 years.
on the 19th, I keep saying 18. You know what? I realized the other day why I say that, because my nephew, Kevin, he has a birthday on the 18th.
Sure.
So my nephew, Kevin, and then look at that. My brother in Christ, Kevin, the next day.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's on Friday this year. I was born on a Saturday, though. Saturday night, as a matter of fact, at 11:46 p.m., almost the next day. So my mom said that I was her little night owl. How sweet. So,
can I bring something quick for the Canadian viewers?
Oh, boy. We can't wait to hear this.
It's really quick. You already know that they're passing the law now that reading the Bible on a milk crate in the street will be a speech, hate speech. Okay. So they're passing that and it's now going through. Now, today was the budget of Mr. Trudeau. Now, for Canadians, taxes was 49 cents of each dollar you earn.
Right.
Today we passed the middle of it. Now it's 52.7 cents.
Oh my gosh.
That means for every dollar you earn, you're left with 47 cents in your pocket. And then over that, you still have to pay tax, like the GST and the federal tax and everything. Now people are borrowing money to feed themselves. That's where we're
at. And John, do you feel like those tax dollars are being put to good use?
Oh, it never were. Never been put.
Never.
You guys got a whole leader there.
I mean,
you guys need to rise up, man.
you guys are like well on your way into complete 100% socialism.
Yeah, assimilation. I don't. We don't have guns. We don't have right to talk. We don't have nothing left.
You don't have a bird drone? I mean,
no.
Everything's getting ready for the tribulation. You know,
get ready.
So you guys got a straight tax for everybody. No matter how much money you make, 52 cents on the dollar. Whoa. Doesn't matter if you work at McDonald's or if you own a big corporation. Mm-hmm. You get paid tax 52 cents.
But you know what the left will say? Oh, but you get free health care. John, talk to us about your health care system there.
Well, let's say that you have a pain in the chest. If you don't come with the ambulance, okay, monitored and everything, unfortunately, if you show up there, they're going to sit you down and you might spend 24 to 30 hours in there waiting.
Could you imagine having a heart condition, feeling pain, and then being told to wait for a day? And you can't leave, because if you leave, well, you've lost your spot in line, because I mean, the requests are taken in the order in which they were served. I mean, I'm telling you that is what you get with that. See, but they'll tell you, oh, but I'd be more than happy to pay tax if I got free health care. Yeah. John, are you more than happy to pay that tax for your free health care?
And I'm going to answer Amy Rose, which is our, what's the word for that? She is one of our monitor there.
Oh, yes, Amy. Mm-hmm.
Amy, she's in Canada too. And she says there is different brackets. Yes, if you're a couple, you have children, you can claim stuff. Indeed. But I'm talking about me, a single man in my 50s, working, okay? Just to let you know, like this, like last year, I paid only $37,000 of taxes. That's all I paid. Can you imagine?
Do you see what Lori posted?
Bracket for a single person working.
Do you see what Lori posted? Love you guys. I have three brothers named Bob, Kevin, and John.
Oh,
I mean, what, Greg? What happened?
I don't know. I'm the odd
Greg
man
is the black sheep.
She'll post. That's my dad's name. You know.
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Yes, so, Amy says it's crazy. I know. Right. Yes, if you're a single mom, you're working, you have 2-3 kids. Yes, you're gonna get all kinds of deductions. Yes, and you got child support. They give you child money every month according to your salary and all that. It's not taxable. Yes, but I'm talking the worst bracket right now: a single man or a single woman, no child, no dependent, working hard. Try to do overtime to get more so you can spend more. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. More you work, more your bracket goes up. Right now, it's 52.7 cents.
They punish you. They punish you when you're ambitious. They punish you. Yeah, that sounds like socialism on the way for me, man.
Oh, yes. Well, they got half of it right. You'll own nothing and be happy.
Like
I said, they got half of it right.
Let's get to the next question here.
Yes.
This from D23 says, is Matthew 24, 20 through 23 mid-tribulation? I'll just start reading here. I got to hear if you want to pull it up, Greg. It says, but pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Right. Okay. I think that's remember what he says right before verse 20, and he's talking about the abomination of desolation. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely that's, right at the midpoint. Yes.
Yeah, that's yes, definitely that's a midpoint.
Right but that's also the Jews. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's he's beginning at God's wrath right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a parallel to what's talked about in Revelation 12:6, where the woman flees into the wilderness and is protected by God for 1260 days.
Yes, sir. You're correct. Yeah.
So that's going to be a remnant that will be saved. Right. Can you imagine that? Two-thirds of Israel is going to end up in a pit of hell.
Yeah.
Wow. And everybody's just like, a whole bunch of them are over there right now. And you think two-thirds of them are going to hell. Wow.
That's unbelievable. No, it's a lot. But when you think about where they are as a nation and where they are as a people, I mean, the fact is there are many, many Jews who don't even believe that Moses even existed. There are many Jews that think that all those are just fairy tales and fables, let alone Jesus as the savior of mankind. So that there are many Jews have a long way to go to accept Jesus. But the fact is that one third ultimately will, when you consider that, that's actually quite a bit. So God is definitely going to do a work. He is not finished with the Jewish people. He is not finished with Israel. The tribulation is a gigantic part of saving the nation of Israel and saving the people from and within it. But it does take the entire time. And when they call upon Jesus' name, he will return. So, not to
beat around the bush on this, but the Great Tribulation, I highlighted that for a reason. Great Tribulation is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not where we're talking about Jesus, where he says you will have tribulation.
Right.
And that is a completely different context, a different verse.
It is.
So he's not saying what we as people, as the body of Christ, will go through the Great Tribulation. He says we will be having tribulations as we go through our walk here during the church age. Okay, I want to make that absolutely clear.
That's right.
A lot of people confused about that.
And he clarifies this with such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. So he's clarifying it, saying this great tribulation period is going to be different than any other time in the existence of humankind. Okay, so yes, we are absolutely going to go through trials, tribulation, and persecution. Jesus said that he hated him first. So don't be surprised when the world hates you. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to step out of this world and step into the new creation, which is through Jesus Christ. However, during this period of time, there is going to be a great tribulation unlike any other time. And that's because God is going to be actually pouring out his wrath onto the people of the world who are here, who are inhabiting the world. And people are going to be afraid. They're going to be blaspheming God. And the Antichrist is going to be fully in power. And he's going to ultimately cause everyone to worship him and take his mark or be beheaded for their faith in Jesus Christ. There's going to be, a binary choice right there. And that's not ever happened before in the history of mankind either. So
that's right.
There's a lot of things that are completely different and new during that period of time. And Jesus definitely wanted people to know that this is not a normal period of time, what happens. And you have to remember, this whole question was, what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the age, right? That's what kicked off this entire passage, that question to Jesus. And Jesus started with, do not be deceived. So, I mean, that was, there's a lot of deception that goes on during the end times. And I think we all agree that we've seen the deception ramp up over our lifetimes thousands fold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, you want to do this next question here, Kevin?
Question: will the world go back under law when they sacrifice red heifer under grace now? Well, the world's never really going to go back under law because Jesus Christ isn't going to revoke his death on the cross. You are saved by grace through faith. Before there was laws and there were things like that, that God had for Israel to set them apart as a nation from other nations. He did not want them to be the same as all the other heathen nations out there. God chose them specifically and said, you are my people. You are going to follow these laws. And then they made up a whole bunch of more laws too. Man did. And so then it became like impossible. Now, granted, you were never going to be able to be saved under that law. You had to have faith. And that's what the book of Hebrews talks about. It talks about great men of faith. It doesn't talk about great men who obeyed the law. It talks about great men of faith. So you're always saved by faith. And of course, only through God's grace, because otherwise there is no such thing as faith or remission of sins or absolution or any of that. Jesus Christ had to come and die for our sins. And that will never change, because when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. And he paid the price. As long as you accept that, you're saved. So no, the world's not going to go back under the law when they sacrifice the red heifer. The book of Hebrews says, shouldn't sacrifice red heifers anymore. Why not? You don't need to. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice once for all. Once for all. Doesn't need to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. That would probably explain why, if they do sacrifice that red heifer, that's like a slap in the face to Jesus.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that would be really bad.
Turning back to an animal for blood sacrifice, yeah, after Jesus, the Son, yeah, of God, came down innocent, completely innocent, and shed his blood on the cross through a painful, torturous death, mm-hmm, for us, completely, mm-hmm, unblemished. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, yeah, and you're going to sacrifice an animal in his place?
Hmm. Look what happened to them last time.
I would need an old flock to get my sins forgiven, like a week.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be part of
no,
that sacrifice at all, Bob.
Yeah. I will say, look what happened to them last time. After Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, it was all done, final sacrifice. They continue sacrificing the lambs. They continue sacrificing the bulls, and they continue sacrificing the cows, turtle doves, and everything. Okay. Again, and look what happened to them. 70 AD. You know, God took care of all that. So God didn't like what they did. So now they're going to start sacrificing again. What do you think is going to happen to them? What do you think is going to happen to them now?
Well, we know what's going to happen to them. Yeah, we know what's going to happen to them when they do that. That the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and declare himself as God.
That's right.
I mean,
right.
And then the Jews are going to be dispersed again, and they're going to have to flee into the wilderness, the ones who don't accept the Antichrist. So yes, Bob, you're absolutely right. It's going to be bad again.
Yeah, I don't think when they start sacrificing, I don't think it's going to be one of those things where it's like God's like, oh, I'd love to sacrifice for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And then I'll catch up with them. We'll do the tribulation then. No, that's not how it's going to work. As soon as they spill the blood of that bull or the blood of that cow, you know, if they haven't done it already, you know, I think maybe some people think they did. That's why they got attacked.
Mm.
Okay. And I'm hearing sources that, you know, one good source said that they did launch a nuke at them, and they used that arrow system to take out that big missile.
Oh, the new laser one?
Yeah.
Oh.
This explained why they had like all these drones and missiles and stuff like that, and missiles from the proxies, but they had one big smoke line that came from Iran, a big one.
Is that?
And the arrow system took it out, and they assumed it was a nuclear weapon. So this is why, and a lot of people are not talking about it, but I'm hearing some sources about it. So this is why now Israel's like, man, they just shot a nuke at us, supposedly. Imagine that's what's going on.
Is that that DEW?
At us. You don't do that. Is Nobody that does that.
The DEW do weapons?
You don't do that. You don't do that.
Yeah. They got a lot of stuff.
You got it.
They got a lot of stuff stacked against
them. Yeah. Second part of this question here, though, because we talk about works, and shall grace abound if someone decides, okay, well, I decide to take the mark. Does grace abound at that point?
No.
Or are you with the enemy? You're with the enemy at that point. There's no turning back at that point.
The Bible is very, very clear about that. The ones who take the mark are not eligible for salvation anymore. They have given their life to the Antichrist. They have given their worship and everything. They have rejected the truth. See, that's what Bob was saying. There's going to be a strong delusion, and it's given to the people because they have rejected the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through me. So either you believe him or don't, but a lot of people say, oh, Jesus was a great guy and this and that. Well, did you know that Jesus said that he and the Father are one? Well, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that he said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through him? No, I didn't know that either. Did you know that he said he was going to rise again after the third day? No, I didn't know that. Yes, he said all those things. So either he was crackpot liar, a deceiver, or he was actually telling the truth. There's really no middle ground with Jesus, because of the words that he said were so powerful, and the actions that he did to back those up were absolutely true and actually came to pass. It's hard to deny that Jesus was the Son of God if you actually just look at it on empirical evidence. But you know, a lot of people, they'll stop and they won't actually delve into it. But certainly grace abounds at this point, Greg. I mean, for us, we are blessed to be able to live in this time frame, to be able to accept Jesus as our Savior, to be able to attain eternal life through, not through works. Could you imagine trying to attain eternal life through works, Bob? I mean, where would you start? I mean, how would you know that you actually attained it? How good do you have to be in order to, who measures that? Could you have a stick somewhere that's measuring it? I mean, that's why it's impossible to actually measure eternal salvation through works, because no one knows where the line is. No one knows where it's drawn. Like the guy who said to Jesus, hey, I haven't broken a commandment in my life. And Jesus is like, great. How about you give all your money to the poor? And he's like, well, can't do that. So, I mean, there's always a line that somebody can't cross in terms of works, but in terms of grace and faith, that's a very simple to understand thing. Jesus Christ said, you believe in me, for whosoever believes in Jesus, you're going to be saved. That is it. You are saved. So it's very easy. It's very clear to understand salvation when you take out works and when you just rely on grace through faith.
That's a good point there, Kevin. You know, where in the Bible are the charts that show your level of sin where you lose your salvation? Right. Where in the Bible are the charts and the numbers and the graphs? You figured that would be important. Sure. Because you're talking about your salvation. So you figure those charts or those numbers, those guidelines have to be in there somewhere, because that's salvation. In the end, what's the Bible all about? Leading us to salvation. But last time I checked, there are no charts. Right. There are no numbers. There are no graphs. There is nothing to measure your amount of sin or measure the amount of works that you do that are good to get you into heaven. Amen. Okay. There's nothing that measures it. The only measure that talks about is faith.
Right.
Faith.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's one sentence.
Right now, there are sinners in heaven that are far worse than the four of us. Absolutely. Far worse than anybody listening to Uptime today. There are some really bad people up there that came to Christ. Yeah. Really bad people. There are murderers up there that came to Jesus Christ. Right. Okay, we heard about them. All right. I've heard about them. I've seen deathbed confession stories and everything. Murderers. All right. And how many people out here murder somebody? None of us. We didn't go that far. Okay. But yet they got saved. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody in heaven has different levels of sin, some worse than others. Doesn't matter. Why? Because we all get there only one way, faith in Jesus Christ, in his works, his blood. You know, that's why we worship him. That's why there is like nobody above him. Okay. Right. It makes sense. You get up there, nobody's going to talk about how great they are. Nobody want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Really? I'll get up there. Hey, weren't you got to own feed my sheep today? I'm like, it wasn't me, man. Go look at Jesus. I didn't do nothing, because now you're kind of like embarrassed, you know?
Right.
You don't want to talk about it. You know, if someone talks about your, you know, what you do and stuff like that, oh, you're so great. And you get embarrassed, you know?
Yeah. Then you're like, go look at my highlight reel of my sins and then tell me that I'm great. You know, it's like, no. That's been purged. That's as far away from the east as from the west. You can't go see that. But if you could see it, you wouldn't be saying this and you'll understand why. But I agree with you, Bob. I don't think anybody's going to look at anybody else going, well, I'm better than them. I'm better. Are they better than me? It's like, you know what? We talked about the parable of the wage, right? Like the guy who starts working in the morning, the guy who starts working in the end of the day, they get the same wage. They get the same salvation. They don't get the same rewards. That's different. Mm-hmm. Those are different parables. Mm-hmm. But the salvation reward is the same, whether or not you come to the Lord before you committed a million sins or after you committed a million sins.
Very true.
You are saved either way.
Amen.
The only sad thing is that the churches, the good one, I'm talking about those Bible believer church, Baptist, or okay, they don't teach, they don't preach anymore on hell. And like Bob said, he got saved because he was afraid to go there. Hello, me too. Okay, I was afraid. And that's how, yes, okay, I got saved because I'm a chicken. That's okay. I accept it. But now I'm saved, right? Kevin, you can laugh at that, Kevin. Right? I tried to put words. Listen, that's the French expression here, the language barrier, okay? So, yes, chicken. But the thing is, the salvation in Greg is gone now. It's broken. The thing is, the salvation should be preached. Yes, and do this. Like Jude 23 is clear. Like you got to slip slap them if you have to wake them up, but you're going to hell.
Yeah.
I got my few friends of mine there that don't want to hear anything, right? And sometimes I push a little bit. I'm trying to, but I got no response, unfortunately.
We know, Heidi, salvation's not just a get out of hell card. It is a relationship with God. However, there are many people who will take that step and will open up and receive Christ because they do not want to die eternally, because they don't want to go to hell. The Bible says that you will save some with love and you'll save some with fear of hell. I mean, so, you know, each person is different. And there you go, right there. You can pull up Jude 22 as well.
22 and 23 goes together.
Yeah. Compassion and come on, get with it. He's like, I got your verse. Yeah, here you go. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear. So you reach people differently, right? Everybody's got a different way. I almost said manera. I've been in Colombia a while, but a different way to reach other people. And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible, is that it has so many different examples of how to reach people, you know, speaking to what is going to make a difference for them. And that's what it says, making a difference. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how living the word is, even to this very day. And I touched on this last week. Paul said, we who are alive and remain. I mean, he didn't say they. He said we. So he fully expected, after being taken into a rapture, what, 15 years prior to that, or possibly a little bit more, that he said, you know what, we who are alive and remain. So he was hoping, he was expecting, he was you know, praying, I'm sure, that Jesus Christ would come back during his lifetime so that he would be taken. But the living word is so great that we, who are here still, and even the ones who died before us, were always thinking, we who are alive and remain. While you're still alive, you can think that you are part of the we.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, man.
Amen.
And I think all think that we're part of the we.
We.
Next question here.
That's for Bob. So we can't answer
for all of us. He just said, you know, me.
John just slips in those French words all the
time. Yeah, he didn't even see or hear that. He misses everything from us.
He does.
What?
What?
Moi?
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 Oui, oui.
Oui,
oui. says here, it says, are we approaching the opening of the second seal? Peace removed from the earth. The immigrants are going to use knives. Yeah, I saw a thing about what happened to Marmari.
Isn't there
a first, I got that today.
First seal before the second seal, though, Bob?
What's that?
Doesn't the first seal open before the second seal, though?
That's right.
The rapture happened before the first seal.
We're approaching all of the seals, but I would think before the second comes the first. I'm just guessing.
Right. Well, there are no seals that are open. People say that the seals are open. Then anyone that says the seals are open, then please explain to me who are those people in Revelation 5:9.
Yeah, who are watching the
seals. That have been redeemed from every kindred, tongue, and nation. Who are those people that have been redeemed? I was like, well, those are the current saints up there that have been saved up to this point. No. Because something changes when those seals open. People stop showing up to the front of the throne at that point. They start showing up under the altar after they die. So something changes at that point. Right. So that group of people standing before God's throne, before Christ at Revelation 5:9, is a fully completed, fully redeemed body, soul, and spirit, each and every single one of them. And of course, we all know that to be the body of Christ. Right. Fully raptured, fully redeemed, all the resurrected, all the living, brought together, standing before God's throne, telling Jesus, you have redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Amen.
All right. And what did Jesus tell the apostles? When you see these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Redemption. And here they say here, thou hast redeemed us. So evidently the redemption took place, rapture, resurrection. So
no, I love to see everybody in chat, Bob. Everybody in chat saying the same thing. We're up there. We're up in the throne room. The seals haven't been opened yet. We're going to watch the seals be opened. So our audience is absolutely on point.
That's right.
Yeah, I see big pastors say, oh, no, we're in the fourth seal now. Yeah. I was like, no, I think you're spiritualizing everything that's been going on. Look, you can easily say that we've been in the seals 4,000 years ago. You can spiritualize everything and make it look like the seals. We've always had wars, okay? Right. You think about all these huge empires that rose and fell over the last 3,000 years. When those people were in the midst of those wars, everything, watching empires rise and fall, and all the death and carnage that they were around, do you think they could say, oh, yeah, we're in the seals? Of course you're in the seals. You would think that.
Sure.
Okay? But The only thing that I'm saying is Revelation 5:9 and 10 tell us about a group of people standing before God's throne before those seals open. Yeah. I think we go to if you go to 11 and 12, what does it say there, Greg? It says that they say that thou, where is that at 11? And be, is that right there?
Can you see it?
And behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000.
10,000, thousands of thousands.
That's right. It's an uncountable number of people. That's the body of Christ.
That's the body of Christ. Yeah.
And and then it goes on to say further down where it says, we tell them thou art worthy to open the seals thereof. Mm. We tell them that he's worthy to open the seals. So Jesus hasn't opened any seals yet. Right. I'm not sure which part of that is there. Where's that at? Where's that at? As
I think it might be four. It might actually be.
It's right there at 13. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb to open the seal."
13. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and are that in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power to be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
Right.
Where is that verse? I know that verse is there.
The beast.
I'm gonna have to edit this thing now. When I, it'll be seamless when I make this video.
I can't wait to see.
Thou art worthy to open the seals thereof.
Right.
For thou wast slain. I think that's at the beginning, probably. So, but we tell them that. Okay.
We do have really knowledgeable people in the chat. A lot of people know what they're talking about, and. I'm just glad that, you know, we just don't have people That's good.
I'm sorry, I can't remember the verse right now, and I was quoting it before.
That's all right. I think it's
pretty sure it's in chapter six, Bob.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure it's in chapter six.
Yeah, it might be chapter six.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
going to take a look.
I gotta go find it.
Hey, it's like a Bible study here.
Let's do this. I'm pretty sure it's in chapter six.
Anybody wants to come to the Bible study tomorrow morning? It's at 11 New York time.
It was Revelation 4:11 and 5:14.
It talks about. Oh, it was 4. See, I told you it was in chapter 4.
Chapter 4 talked about it. 4:11.
Greg, I stand corrected.
Here it is. Yes. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure thy are and were created. And then it goes to verse 14. Open the seals. Yeah. Looking them up now. Doesn't get any more live than this.
No.
Here we go.
Well, look, Revelation 5:12 asked the question, who is worthy? And then they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals because you were slain. You purchased your God with your blood. So it's all in there in Revelation 5.
Yeah. The great thing is that we're up there. We know that we're there when he's opening the first seal.
Yes.
Right.
Before the first seal is open, they're up there. We're up there.
I think it's 5:9. Go back to 5:9. I read it already.
There it is, 5:9.
It was 5:9. And they sung a new song. It was in 5:9. I've read it, and I went past it, and I forgot I just read it. And that just goes
okay.
Sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof.
Right.
For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred tongue and nation, and people and nation.
But what this is showing is that there's a multitude of people that really can't be numbered that are witnessing the opening of the seals and the question of who is worthy and the answer of who is worthy. And then Jesus Christ being there and opening the seals. So this is very important because this is the section which tells you when the seals are open. So there really shouldn't be a question of whether or not the seals have already been opened or not. Because we know from 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught together into the clouds with the Lord and will be with him forever. And we know that that is a gigantic multitude of people who are dead in Christ and who are raptured. And we also know that we are going to be priests and kings. And it talks about those people are going to be priests and kings. So it all connects. So it really shouldn't be a question to anybody of whether or not the seals have been opened yet.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Lucy. I could appreciate this question. Lucy's a straight shooter. When is the rapture? Just tell us already.
Hit the quote.
Tell her, Kevin.
Hit the quote, Greg.
I'm getting the quote now.
He's got it. I mean, it's very simple. The rapture is going to be on the day of the rapture. So we told you already. But that is when the rapture is going to happen. It was set by God. He has a date. He set it in eternity past, as Bob posted to somebody on his channel today. Exactly that quote. God set the date in eternity past, right? So nothing that we are going to be able to do is going to change that date. However, doesn't mean that you should just sit on your hands. We are to be proclaiming the gospel to all nations, to all people. And we are also to have ready a word for those who have questions. We need to be ready to tell them why we have hope. Who is our hope and why? And that's what we're supposed to be doing during this period of time. So that's what you're doing. You're doing a great job. You're all supposed to be watching for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, you get a crown. You get a reward, a special reward. That's cool.
Yep. All we can do is watch parallels, types, shadows, and patterns, and stuff like that, you know. And you have to read the whole Bible in order to do that. You know, you got to know the whole Bible in order to do that. That's why not a lot of people do that, you know.
Right.
All you got to people just say, no one knows a day or hour where you're not a watchman. Okay. You're not watching. Okay.
That's right.
That's what study, I would study, say. Study. If I wasn't watching, I don't want to admit that I suck. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm just going to say, no one knows a day or hour. Mm-hmm, I know what I'm talking about. They say it so proudly, too. Right? Well,
we're supposed to be fellowshipping together all the more as we see the day approaching, right?
What is the contrary of not knowing? If the Bible, Jesus Christ, Paul tells us to watch, what do you think is going to happen, right?
Right.
It comes back to, and I had to play that and to remind somebody in the chat, but what we talk about, Bob, the frequency of the rapture that we're going to be, and only us will hear it. No, it's not written as per se in the Bible, but we did talk about it. And there will be something specific just to us.
Right, exactly.
We talk about it, didn't we?
Yeah. Yep. And if you guys, I mean, if you want to know, all we could do is speculate. And it's okay to speculate. The Lord loves it when we search him out. When we're searching him and looking at dates, the Lord loves date setters because those are the ones that are looking for him. They're excited about him. One, I can't wait to give that person that crown. Yeah, he made a date, but look at all those people trying to hate on him just because he's looking at this specific date. Now, I get it. It's like, oh, don't say it, Lord. This is what God said right here. I'm like, if God heard that, God's like, don't be doing that. But if you're just speculating and looking at patterns, then if you want to know when the rapture resurrection is, then just follow the patterns. Okay. It's not a guarantee. Just going to say that. I got a rapture resurrection report coming out hopefully tomorrow. I got a whole new set of patterns. Things look pretty good over the next month or two. You know, nothing's guaranteed, but just patterns. I'm pointing out the patterns right now.
Didn't we just read that Bible verse that says some you do with fear? Someone just posted, God didn't say that you're supposed to induce fear. You know what?
With
some people, you need to induce fear. You must induce fear in order for them to ultimately be saved. You're not saving them. I want to be clear that man cannot save another man. We can plant seeds in order for Jesus to save them, in order for them to receive Jesus. It says right there, and others save with fear. So when someone says, you're not supposed to speculate, Bob, and induce fear. There are going to be people that watch your videos and are going to be blessed, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to be excited and encouraged. And there are going to be others who are going to be sorely afraid of what's coming to them. And this is exactly what this verse says. You are having compassion for those who are in Christ and saying, do not be afraid. We do not be afraid of these things that are going to happen, because you're in Christ, and we're all gonna have eternal life together. But for others who aren't, you're basically showing them, hey, if you don't get on board, this is what's coming your way, and that could absolutely induce fear, and that could ultimately lead to their salvation. So, for those people who say that. Like this person, speculation is not love. You know, there is nothing in the Bible that says speculation is not love. Thou shalt not speculate. Thou shalt not watch. Thou shalt not provide encouragement. No, as a matter of fact, that person needs to go and read the Bible, because right here in this verse, I just showed where this person has fallacy, just straight up fallacy. But you know what? That person probably doesn't believe that the rapture is going to occur anytime soon. And they probably don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture either. Most of the time, those people also believe in works for salvation, or some type of lordship type of thing where you have to earn your way into heaven. So most of the time, they don't just have one doctrine wrong. They have a whole bunch if you actually talk to them for a while. So.
Yeah, here around me, I don't have any problems with pre, mid, or post rapture. Like everybody that I know in the study group, we're about 20 now, and it's going well, and everybody understand that. My problem that I have around my entourage is the people don't believe in the rapture, and they become scoffers, and that's why this is the boo-boo of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of difficult. I don't know. It's kind of hard. It's like you look at the rapture resurrection, and it makes sense in the whole scope and the whole chondra of salvation. You understand why the rapture has to take place, because Israel is being dealt with at the time. It's time of Jacob's trouble. There's a new gospel introduced. All these variables going into place at the beginning of Daniel 70 of the week that is really contrary for, in fact, pretty dangerous for us to be here, for one. And two, we won't be effective here anymore because we're saved by a different gospel. So how can people be tested if we're sharing the gospel of grace? It's like, oh, forget that test. Forget that, Mark. Man, just come over here to the grace side. You can get saved, believe, and don't have to worry about that, Mark, man. You're covered by grace. That's not going to work. This is why we have to be removed. Just common sense stuff like that. So anybody that preaches, it seems like, like you said, John, you could be post-trib, mid-trib, or pre-trib, okay? But the problem is, I've kind of gone through all three of those in my walk. Right? Mm-hmm. I went from post-trib, I went to mid-trib, then I came to pre-trib because I kept reading through the Bible. So I went through all of them, okay, believing in all of them. And a lot of people don't know that, but earlier in my walk, I did. But be it as it may, though, it seems like to me, though, that if you're going to believe in post-trib, then you're missing something about understanding salvation right now. Mm-hmm. You're missing something. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to go to post-trib, then you're like, well, I got to do this to get saved. I got to stay away from this. Stay away from the mark of the beast. I got to feed people. I got to visit people in prison. I got to do all these works just so if I do survive the tribulation, I can make it past the sheep and goat judgment.
Wow.
Doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know,
doesn't sound like Jesus finished anything for them on the cross. Yeah.
It's like there's no hope. And, of course, now if you rightly divide, right, John?
Yes.
Rightly divide everything.
Dividing.
God talked to you this way. He gave you this. These are your instructions. You over there, they gave you this. This is your time, your instruction. You over here, your time, your instructions. Everybody's compartmentalized. Mm. Makes sense. Yeah.
There was a point at which I believed in multiple raptures, actually.
Well, there is seven in the Bible.
I was very fortunate
to have seven in the Bible.
My grandfather,
Elijah. There is seven type of
rapture. But that doesn't mean there's going to be seven raptures here.
No, it doesn't mean there is.
But I was very fortunate to have a grandfather who was very different from a lot of people in the Lutheran Church. He actually read Revelation and believed in the pre-tribulation rapture and taught me about that when I was like 13, 14. And I was like, wow, that's an amazing event. I want to learn more about that. You know, he got me excited about it and said, I think it's going to happen during my lifetime. And I said, really? Well, that means that it most likely is going to happen in my lifetime too. But you know, just before he died, he's like, you know what? I don't think it's going to happen for me in my lifetime. It was like almost a Paul moment, right? It's like, I've run the race, you know, I'm good to go now. And I get to be one of the first to get raised because I'm going to be the dead in Christ. It's like, he knew that, he was looking, but the beautiful thing is that throughout his life, he was really expecting it to happen, just like Paul did in a way. And I think that we're in that same boat as well. But for us, I really do think it's more likely to happen in our lifetime than not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that too.
I believe it wholeheartedly.
And Paul says rightly dividing the word of truth. He doesn't say rightly dividing the word of God. He already knows it's the word of God. He says the word of truth. Yeah. Paul is using the word of truth also many times in 26, Act 26, when he talks to the noble Festus. Festus says, man, too much studying gets you mad, buddy. And he said, no, noble Festus, I speak the word of truth in soberness. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was talking about.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, John starts his gospel with, in the beginning, that was the word, and the word was
voila.
The word was God, and we know that Jesus Christ is the word.
He is the word.
He is the word, and he is the truth. So that when you rightly divide, you rightly divide Jesus. You rightly divide what he said when he said it, and also the Holy Spirit bestowing that upon the apostles and so forth to realize what they were talking about, to whom they were talking about, and what time period they're talking about.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And he is the door. By any man, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 to go through that door. That's what we talk about here on Uptime. Praise God. Yeah. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel in which I preached unto you. This is Apostle Paul speaking, which you also have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. How did he do that? By shedding his blood, right? Mm-hmm. Trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. Our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he also rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Do you believe he rose from the dead, folks? Do you believe that wholeheartedly, with all your heart?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Mind, soul. Yes.
That's what's called the simplicity of the gospel, right? That is the simplicity of the gospel.
It is not a
complicated thing.
No work.
God did not make salvation complicated.
Mm-hmm. No work.
Right. He divide the word.
Just faith. So even French people cannot brag about it. Hey, look at me now. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Don't be sorry.
Don't worry, John.
Be happy.
You know what? Be happy, right?
Yes. Yeah, I am happy. You guys changed my life.
Yeah, I just saw Caesar's
right?
Profile picture. Somebody stop me. Yeah, good job, Greg.
Yeah. Oh boy. Here we go. But you know what? Listen, we did overtime. Cesare, yes, you asked for it. We got it. We are overtime. But thank you all for coming on. We're glad that Vanessa and Dusty were able to come on and share their testimony. Amen. Exciting, very powerful. If you missed it due to the YouTube algorithm, to the whatever attack maybe it was, however that was, whatever it was, go back and watch it. I think you'll be blessed. All right. God bless you all. And we are almost finished. We'll see you next week, Lord willing. And we'll have another guest on next week. God bless you
all. Thank you.